Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. He is the lead man for HVU Insider. That's Mike Villagrana. Mike, happy 4th of July weekend to you.
Happy 4th weekend, Jim. These weekends are flying by. I was just talking to my wife about it. We're less than 1 month away from camp, right?
And then, I know.
You know, and this week, you know, on the talk radio shows that I always listen to or TV shows, you know, now they're starting to get in a routine of college football every day. So it's exciting. It's that time of year. And I think the next couple weeks, we're going to start hearing these SEC Big Ten meetings. Those are always fun. That gets everybody juiced up. It's an exciting time. These weeks are flying by, man. So, yeah, but the 4th was great. You know, the thing that stinks about fireworks is you never know how cloudy it's going to be or which way the wind's going.
Yes. Yes.
Like we tried, you know, here at State College, you know, you can get to an area where, you know, you can probably see them from anywhere. So that's what me and the kids did. And I took the truck up top on the top of this hill and still could not see anything because it was so dang foggy and cloudy and the way that the wind was
going. Yeah.
But it was a great weekend, 4th weekend. State College had a nice parade downtown. But, yeah, and we got some good news last week for the 28 class, some really good news. So, yeah, a lot of good things going on still, that even though it's a kind of a dead time right now.
That's it. We're going to get to that good news. But on the 4th of July front, there was also – we had storms coming through here later in the evening. But that's not going to dampen, you know, a 4th of July weekend. But the funniest line that I read, and this was last week, and someone put out there, just realize that there are some people out there, this is their last weekend they will ever have all 10 of their fingers.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I like the fact that I want to be able to get some fireworks now. I have a 7 and 11-year-old. They'll get a kick out of it. But my wife is that type. She thinks I'll lose it. She thinks I'm going to kill myself, you know, lighting a sparkler. And because I was like, well, let me get some fireworks. We can't see them. Let me just go grab some at Dollar General or something. And she's like, no, it's against the neighborhood rules. And then we go back. Everybody's doing them in their driveway.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, too. I was having this conversation with my brother, who lives way up near some lake in far northeast Pennsylvania, up above Scranton. And he lives on a lake. And he said, for them, they don't go somewhere for fireworks. They do. And I'm like, oh, are they done, you know, by the community or whatever over the lake? He says, no, they're just guys who do it themselves, fire them off the lake. And there's so many of these, fireworks stores. They're all along the state border because it's like you have to be from out. It's the weirdest rules. You have to be from out of state to come in and get them. Yeah. And he's, you know, these things, they're so professional. He said there's like these packages where you just light it up, set it off, and it goes on for 15 solid minutes. You know, just more and more going on. So, hey. The 4th of July, it's about fireworks. Always has been. Hopefully always will be. It's fun. But speaking of fireworks, how's this for the segue? Some fireworks with Penn State recruiting for the class of 28. That's not this incoming class this year recruiting class of 27. It's a year away. James Armstrong, a quarterback from Aliquippa. Class of 28. First of all, before we get into what it means, Mike, how about just a quick scouting report on the kid?
He's everything you want in a quarterback. You know, he's got the size, he's got the intellect, he's got the instincts, he's got all the physical traits that you want in a quarterback. You know, a lot of times, a lot of these quarterbacks, they have the traits and everything, but then compromise that for height or length sometimes, but he's got it all. He's a big kid too already. He's like 6'3", he's like 220 pounds. Like, think like a, man, like not a Cam Newton, but he's going to be a big kid, like physical kid. Kind of reminds me a little bit of what Justin Fields looked like coming out of high school. It has that athleticism, but all in all, great pickup for Penn State, 28 class, the cowbell of the class, right? The quarterback that usually helps other recruits to jump on board, you know, and it could help actually with the 27 class, right? I know in a day or two, we're going to hear Khalil Taylor's decision, and, you know, that could help in his decision. So all in all, though, great pickup for Penn State, especially for the 28 class. I was talking to somebody last week about it. And, you know, I just think we're playing with house money, and what a great job the staff has done with the 27 class, you know, coming in after signing day, not having anybody in the 26 class. And now with the 27 class, really good momentum, you know, top 20 class in the country. I predict, you know, we're going to start off hot. We're going to go on that USC game, hopefully undefeated. We're going to have a lot of momentum, a lot of excitement for the program. And I just think a lot of the 27s that maybe were still on the fence or didn't jump on board, I think we're going to start hearing rumblings of those guys who I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if we heard like a Keymon Spell name pop up saying he's going to be on campus or something like that come the USC game. The 28 class now, I mean, if we finish strong with the 27 class and then you already have, you know, your top quarterback in the country in the 28 class, you have a lot of momentum going into the 28 class. So I could see, you know, after a good season and we finish strong in the 27 class, this 28 class could really kind of set themselves up come January, February, that it's going to, you know, hopefully go in the next cycle to a top five class, potentially, just with the momentum that they have and the potential momentum based off the season.
Well, we'll get into some of those trends and where they're going for the entire class. But just back with Armstrong, the quarterback, it's funny, in seeing pictures of him, my first take on him was a word expression you use for a lot of the players they're looking for. He looks long. You know, I saw he's 6'3", 220, which is a pretty good size already. But the kid's only a sophomore. He just finished up his sophomore year in high school. He's not necessarily done growing. So this is a big kid.
Oh, he's a big kid. And obviously he's from the Pittsburgh area, so Terry Smith's recruiting area. But this staff has had him pinged as the top guy since they got here. And I think that they did a great job closing it on him. But, you know, a top quarterback out of Hopewell committing to Penn State in the 28 class, that's a huge, huge win for us, especially this early in the game.
Well, let's talk a little bit about – you come from that recruiting world, and we've been talking, you and I – every other show that I do, what I'm hearing for the listeners, it's so much conversation about this 27 class. Gee, there, too many of them are three stars. We're not, it was a great class from Pennsylvania, and we didn't get many guys from PA. But it's not that easy to show up from Iowa to Pennsylvania in December and all of a sudden have a be ready for the class of 27. They had no time at all. Can you tell us a little bit about like the groundwork that needs to be set for a recruiting class and why 27, even though if it turns out really well, that's not really an indicator of how they will recruit going forward?
Yeah, because they really don't, a lot of their substance that they're showing them is based off of Iowa State, right? So anytime a new staff comes in from another program, they have to show like tape on, you know, Iowa State. It's not, you know, the new school's tape when they show like offensive schemes, defensive schemes, whatnot. So that helps, right? And now you have a proven product. You've gone through a season. You've gone through a whole cycle, right? And so now you have everything that you liked, what you did, what you didn't do well, and you clean it up going into the next cycle. And that's usually how it goes. And I, like I said, I think the staff is in a really good position. Something that I think is neat about the staff is they're young. They're very young. And I think they relate really well with these kids. I think they do really well with, you know, the families and whoever's in their circle via the agents or whatnot, too. I think they all do really good communicating, transparency. Like we've talked before, general manager Derek Huger, who is like a real general manager, does a really good job kind of setting the plan and everybody executing the plan. But I just think, like, when you meet Mauser, you meet Waters, you meet Clanton and all of them, you're just like, wow, these guys are like really young, energetic, like good dudes. Like they bring off a really good vibe when you're around them, and they're genuine. So I think that transitions into, doing well in recruiting, which they are doing really well now. And I think the support staff supplements them really well. So the front office, so guys like Quiggs, guys like, all the AZ, Nas, and all the other guys, they do a really good job working with these assistant coaches and the families and the circle and the inner circle to get to a position that they can close on a top quarterback like James Boo Boo Armstrong. That's kind of how I see it with this staff. And I just think we're going to continue to see that their character, their personalities are having a lot to do with why we're doing well in recruiting. And obviously, like I always say, like the best recruiting tool is, you know, what you do on the football field, right? You win games, and that's going to really kind of help us take us to the next level for the 28 class and finishing on the 27 class.
It strikes me when you talk about how young the staff is. As you know, a couple weeks ago, we got the chance to talk to Derek Huger. Great event, great guy. It just, maybe I'm just getting old, but he's a kid. You know, to me, it's like he's a kid. He's talking about, you know, he and his wife, they had a newborn just, a couple weeks before they find out they're moving to state college. So he's still a very young guy. But something that struck me is something you've always talked about with him and the other guys in the staff. And you always said, Jim, you're really going to like this guy. They're just the football dudes. They're just guys who love football. And that really came across. And I hope it came across when we interviewed him. But I know it came across to me chatting with him prior to interviewing him on stage. Just seemed like a good football guy. All right, we got lots more to talk about, Mike. We'll do that when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider. Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. It's quarter number two of our show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Mike Villagrana, lead man at HVU Insider. And Mike, we were talking about this James Armstrong, the quarterback from Western PA, who's committed to the class of 28. And, you know, a couple things about that. First of all, what a great get this early in the cycle, that right now you've already, if he signs with Penn State, makes that commitment, that's a year and a half down the road. So when you get a guy who's the quarterback this early, boy, that's just because they become the natural class leader, do they not?
Yeah, they do. And they kind of they're the cowbell of the class. They have the most ability and the the most influence to hold down a class really and recruit guys. Also, it's like getting guys early too can be a bad thing in the past because now you got to hold on to them, right?
Right.
And to me, now the financial piece of it kind of helps stabilize that a little bit, right? Because that's already been worked through, all the financial stuff, you know, the packages, the everything, what that's going to look like. And so I think to me that kind of helps kind of hold on to this and stabilize like a normal recruitment for especially a quarterback. The quarterbacks, like we've talked about it in the past weeks a lot, the 28s, this is the time where like they're really trying to find their spot because those are the spots that fill up the fastest because everybody wants their quarterback early so they can help recruit and build a good class around them. Really good for us in the position that we're in. So really glad to see that happened.
And when you have what's good about this one too, is he's a Pennsylvania kid. Does not mean he's not capable of decommitting and going elsewhere. I know. We all know that. But the fact that he committed early from in-state, it feels like, okay, you're handing the keys to the car to this kid and you're doing it early. And you think that by making the early commitment that he did, that because of that, he's locked in. Okay. I may be jinxing it here, Mike, but you get the feeling, you know, the local kid who commits early at the quarterback position, it's like, okay, we're on board. And now it's more of a commitment than you might see from other guys who are going to be off making more visits.
Yeah, and I think it's tough for these guys to make a decision like that based off of nothing that has been, you know, presented on the field, right? A lot of these quarterbacks are going to want to see what the scheme's going to look like, the offensive production, right? To do that commitment, you know, without that, that means a lot, man, like to me. Like I think this kid is all in. And don't forget, you know, we have Will Wood out of the 27 class. Right. Really good pickup for us as well. So, you know, he must feel very comfortable. The position he's coming in, Mauser and Waters and the staff did a really good job presenting him his plan when he gets here, which is in 2 years still. So,
yeah,
you know, it's a long way until signing it, but it's a really good start for us. Obviously, the optics, like you brought up, coming out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania kid, quarterback. Dual threat guy. Yeah, this kid coming on campus is going to be a highly touted kid. He's going to be a very popular kid on campus because he's a huge quarterback. He's going to be fun. He's going to be exciting. He's from PA. So, yeah, all of that stuff together makes it even that much more exciting for us to have this pickup.
And it should also be pointed out, again, one of the criticisms of the 27 class is so few guys from Pennsylvania. But already, let's not forget, there's another PA commit from Pennsylvania, quarterback Dante Fleming, who's from Erie. He is also a top 10 in Pennsylvania player. So when you get two top 10 guys in Pennsylvania, I think the understanding fans have to have is that, you know what, 27 cycle, they were starting so far behind in that process that now 28 is our first chance to see them with, as you said, a full cycle for the recruiting. And it's a great start to get it. How important is it that, you know what, they're starting with a couple, not just Pennsylvania guys, but top Pennsylvania guys, and one's a quarterback, one's a cornerback, also a valuable position on the defense. Key positions, highly ranked, and Pennsylvania kids. If you're going to draw up the model, Mike, that's what you draw up.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But remember, like when Fleming, he committed, he wasn't a top guy, right? Like the staff is going to recruit how they recruit. Like I keep saying, like front offices have become so much more advanced and bigger that they're able to scout earlier and evaluate earlier. So they're going to be ahead of most of the time of the recruiting services and the rankings. But this is just like validation that the staff is evaluating correctly, right? Like Yeah. Coming after he committed, I think they had an updated rankings, and that's when he ended up being like a top, 200 player. And, you know, I think Boo Boo Armstrong was always a top guy. But, yeah, it's big. But I think, you know, with the 27 class, it's not so much who they didn't get. To me, it's like, all right, who are they bringing in right now? And I think they're doing a really good job all around, top to bottom with the class, because they're recruiting to what they want, big, long, you know, that guys with high ceilings. And, you know, it's funny, there's just like the rankings and where they're coming from. Our offensive tackle was a zero star. And then, you know, updated rankings, he's a top 100 player. You know, it's just,
yeah,
it's a fun game, and it's what makes rankings fun, but the staff is always just going to be able to recruit and evaluate early. So yeah, it's just validation to me when, you know, you see some of these guys that they don't have anything, and then next thing you know, the updated rankings come out and they're a top 100 guy. I think you're going to see that a lot more just across the country.
Well, I think also the aspect, and again, you know, Derek Hoosier talked about this a bit, at Iowa State, they were not going to get those guys that were in the highest demand, those top 100 players, at least at the point when they started recruiting them. So it's, they have their own recruiting grading system. And I think what needs to be understood, there are the very top guys in recruiting, you know, the five-star guys, it's pretty obvious who they are, you know.
Yeah.
Again, I always go back to some friends of mine who are high school football writers down in the Harrisburg area. And they were like, anybody could have scouted Micah Parsons. Okay.
Yeah.
Micah was easy. Everybody knows that. But it's then the next group, that next level, probably anywhere from, you know, number 50 through number 400. There's not a lot that separates them, or it, the difference is your ability to scout what you're looking for, Mike.
Yeah, that's the advantage of having a front office set up like we have it here at Penn State, where a lot of the top blue blood schools have it now. But that's the advantage of having them now, because that's where you have to, you know, that's where you make your money with those front offices, right? It's kind of like the NFL, the first round, like everybody can kind of like see a first round.
You know that.
Yeah, it's like those middle rounds when you get the third and fourth round picks that end up being Pro Bowlers, right? That's where GMs and front offices make their money. It's the same thing in college to me, the recruiting game. Those guys that aren't ranked, that huge pool of guys that are kind of late to the game, to the recruiting ranking game, that's where the front offices make their money. And it's only kind of sped up too, because I was part of it for a while. We always took pride in, you know, some of the film guys, you know, IDing a guy before he has any kind of ranking, and then come out, he's, you know, a top 100 player. That's always awesome when that happens. But that's a huge pool, like you said. Like, everybody knows the Keymon Spells and those top guys, the Malachi Goodmans, right? He's just, you know, those are five stars.
They're easy, yeah. Guy,
that other tier, that's the fun tier. That front offices really kind of pride themselves on.
Well, the other part now that's the difference just in the few years since you've been doing it, Mike, is just how important to place a value on players also. You know, so like you mentioned Kamen Spell. I mentioned Micah Parsons from a few years ago. It was obvious. Anybody who wants the best player, you would go after Micah Parsons. He's that good. Now there's the added complication of placing a value on those guys. It's not enough to just say, oh, I know he's really good and we want him. It's, gee, how much of our budget are we willing to invest in this player?
Yeah, we've talked about it a lot. And when you interviewed Derek Hoosier, you brought this up, and I thought it was really insightful what he said. He said, you know, recruitment and these cycles, 90% of it's still the same. It's just that last 10% is, you know, the money implications and player compensation. And so that is part of it. And these staffs have to be disciplined on their allocated budget and what they believe that they can pay these players. So they got to look at the room. They got to look at development. They got to look at so many different variables when it comes to that. So recruiting has just become a little bit more complex to me because of that last 10% that Derek Hoosier, you know, spoke about.
And I think he brought up a great point also, Mike, and I always, you know, try to relate what's going on in the college football world to what happens out in the real world. Anyone who's gone out for a job interview knows that the money is the last thing that's discussed. First, you know, you talk about the position, you know, do we want you? Do you want us? Okay, we've got all decided we like each other. We want to be together. Okay, now let's figure out the right price. And Derek almost used those exact words in describing how they recruited at Iowa State and plan to continue to do it at Penn State. But he also made the statement, when we get that together, then we will offer a fair price at that point. We will offer fair compensation. I thought that was really important indicator there from him.
Yeah, big time, because you can't be reckless and pay $11 million for a quarterback, right? Like that's just, it's common sense.
And then not provide him an offensive line, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's real GM, you know, framework thinking.
It is. All right, Mike, that's it for quarter number two. Lots more to go right after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. He's Mike Villagrana, head of HVU. I'm Jim Galante. And Mike, we were talking a little bit between segments about this. Quarterback recruiting is just so fascinating in how to handle it. And it struck me a little bit, Notre Dame had a situation with a class of 28 quarterback committed to them. He decommitted, ended up at Oklahoma. Now, the kid is from New Jersey and had visited Penn State previously, was a Penn State target. Well, now Penn State has James Armstrong, and it's like, gee, would you dare go after a second quarterback in the same class? And I almost think now you just can't afford to bring in two top quarterbacks anymore in one class, Mike. I got to think the strategy is one a year.
Yeah, one. It's funny how it's evolved. Going back to like my last years doing the recruiting, you know, it was my job to make sure that we're allocating the numbers. And every team has a different philosophy of how many they should carry each class or each year in a position. So specifically for the quarterback position, I remember one of my last years at Tech, talking to Tyler Bone, who was the offensive coordinator at the time. Now he's the offensive line coach at Iowa State. It's like, he's like, I think we need to take a portal kid every year. Now, depending on it's a portal kid to, it just depends on the development of the room. So if we need, you know, some depth, then we're going to attack the portal to get a guy that's not going to cost us a ton, but he can come in, maybe compete, but at the end of the day, he's going to be a backup. Or it's like, hey, we need a cowbell. We need a guy. So, all right. So be based on the roster, who we're losing, the development, you got to factor that in. And, you know, we were just like, yeah, you're going to probably end up looking at taking a quarterback almost every year. At least that was our structure. But it's evolved a ton. You can't take two top quarterbacks, I don't think, in a class, because you're going to lose out somewhere else. You're not going to be able to spend money on, right? And you know, you've talked about it. It's dead money, essentially, for a year, right? That's why Derek, he brings up, well, instead of, you know, investing in a person that maybe is overvalued and you'll have to overpay, all right, well, maybe we can allocate that money in the portal and get a return on an experienced, hungry player, maybe at the G5 level or whatever, or FCS level, you know. So I think they do a really good job evaluating those levels. I think a lot of people in the country, if you're not doing a good job there, then you're not doing, you're going to lose out, because there's so much value in recruiting and evaluating those guys that are going to the portal that are at that lower level, because they're not gonna be asking for that as much money as like a top 10 quarterback in that high school class. So there's just a lot of juggling, a lot of things that you got to look at when you're kind of strategizing your game plan.
Well, I would think this idea, this theory of, oh, you need to bring in a portal quarterback every year, I think the assumption there, if you're going to do that, also means you plan on losing a quarterback in the portal. And, you know, my initial thing, I said, well, bring in one quarterback a year. Okay, that means you have a minimum of four quarterbacks on your roster, or now with the 5 years, that would be essentially five quarterbacks on your roster. Yeah. Someone's going to be unhappy. You know, so like, even if it's, you know, you have and I'll stop using freshman or redshirt freshman. I'm going to say the first year guy, a second year guy.
Yeah.
You know, a second year guy and a first year guy, you've got to establish a pecking order. Who's ahead of who, so that you know who's the, and the guy who's behind in that contest is probably going to leave, and you can't blame the kid for doing that. So you're going to probably lose quarterbacks, at least a quarterback every year because of that.
Yeah, and take last year for an example. During fall camp, that was a pivotal time for the staff to evaluate who the next quarterback was going to be for the next season, right? And so it was between Ethan Grunkmeyer and Jackson Smolik, right? So they were really kind of competing all fall camp in August, last August, for that backup role to be named the number two and essentially be named the, you know,
the heir apparent for the following year. Right.
Yeah. So it was at a point in middle of camp where the staff talked about it and said, you know, nobody's really kind of making the claim of the number two quarterback. So then the discussion was, all right, well, hey, let's now pivot our strategy for the portal and start looking that we may have to take a portal quarterback, because nobody was kind of jumping out as the number two and the next quarterback to be. So that happened. So fall camp and the season and how these guys develop is huge, huge. So just because they're not Rocco and they're the starter, they're competing every single day. It's an interview every single day, essentially, to basically jump up in that pecking order. And that's how you got to make your decisions on the future of the portal and the high school kids. But it's a tough game for these guys, because you like all of them. You brought them in for a reason, right? But that's just the name of the game right now. You know, there's only one quarterback. And then say Rocco, after this year, it's really going to be up for grabs. You know, you have your young quarterbacks. You have Will Wood coming in. And then you're going to have Abubu Armstrong come in after that. So it's going to be exciting to see that, how that evolves, and that how that class, the younger quarterbacks, how they evolve and what we start hearing in camp. That'll be a tall tale to hear or assume what we're going to do come the portal.
Well, it's interesting, and you had brought this up before. You just now talked about Smolik versus Grunkmeyer last year. We know they're both gone. We know Rocco Beck is the guy this year. Matt Campbell and his staff, they had Alex Mansky at Iowa State last year as a first-year player. Had an injury. So he's thrown, what, two passes at the collegiate level, something like that. Totally inexperienced. What did Penn State do? Matt Campbell. They brought in a guy from a lower level with all kinds of experience. He wasn't brought in here to be the starter. He was the safety net in case an injury happens to Rocco Back, right?
Yeah, and he had a really great spring. And I think that's a huge piece, that piece of roster architecture that people don't really see and value and see the value in. That they brought a kid from D3, didn't cost much, right? And then he ends up getting all the reps due to injuries in spring, and now has proved himself to the staff that he can be a backup if something happens to Rocco. So that's huge. And then now you got Bansky, who you talked about, who has barely played due to injury. But I remember talking to Trace McSorley before he left for the NFL. He liked him more than anybody.
Really?
Because I remember seeing his film, and I'm like, man, this guy can spin it. He's really good. It's kind of random. A lot of people don't know about him. And so talking to Trace, I was like, man, this kid has a chance. So all these, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens this fall, especially now, because Mansky hasn't taken any reps, but he's a dude on his high school film.
Well, this is the thing that, Penn State fans learned a few years ago when Sean Clifford got hurt in an Iowa game, having that inexperienced quarterback go out on the field, what could happen. So that's a great insurance policy. But now, as you point out, it's going to be very interesting to see how this fall camp falls, where does Alex Mansky show, hey, he's ready to step in. And this staff says, you know what, we've got our quarterback for 27. Or do they say, oops, no, we don't. We're not sure. Then it's time to go to the portal. So that evaluation for next year, following, the postseason, the coaching staff's going to find out in August whether they have their quarterback for 27.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because say that plays out like you said, and then you're kind of banking on Will Wood to come in, a freshman. You can't do that. So you probably have to take a serious look at the portal. But it's all based on development. But I think the staff, they're going to see something good in Mansky or the other guys. So we'll see how it plays out. But that's. Be on the lookout to hear how the other quarterbacks doing during fall camp, because that will be a tell to kind of the future of what the room looks like. I think
it will. And if you all of a sudden you see Mansky listed as the number two, you understand, okay, they probably feel like this guy is ready for the following year. We saw that a few years ago when Drew Aller, I think as a true freshman, became listed as the number two guy, which was a surprise, but it told you everything you needed to know that he would be the guy the following year.
Yeah. And then that's when, you start hearing about tampering, because now that number three might be a number one somewhere. Right.
Right.
And front offices, it's a thing. You have to track that. Right. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Well, it's also the kind of thing, quarterback is a unique position in that you have one guy who's the starter. And if you're the backup, the only chance you get to play typically is with injury. The other story, again, here at Penn State, Drew Aller, Bo Prabula, they came in the same year. But if the feeling was, Drew Aller would be gone after 3 years, eligible for the NFL draft. Bo Prabula, when it mattered, redshirted as a freshman, he would actually have, Bo Prabula could have been a two-year starter here at Penn State. And I suspect that was always the plan. Even though they came in the same year, they were able to stagger him, able to make that difference. And Drew Aller messed up the plan when he ended up coming back for another year. And, Bo Prabula, you certainly couldn't blame him for saying, I want to go somewhere where I could play. And it didn't matter how happy he was at Penn State. You're a quarterback, you're a competitor, you want to get on the field. All right, Mike, when we come back, I got to ask you, we're now in Adidas school. I want to ask you what that means when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Well, and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. He's Mike, I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football, quarter number four of our show. Mike, we were talking about the important stuff, the recruiting, quarterback position especially. But now, that was important. This is really important, right? Penn State, a Nike school for so many years, as of July 1st, it's now an Adidas school. Did you feel the earth tremble under your feet on July 1st?
No, I did not. But I thought the marketing teams and the social medias were on point July 1st, because there was a lot of cool things that I saw on X and social media about the announcement. And, you know, it's different. It's just for like older guys like myself that kind of grew up, you know, a Penn State fan, and you know Penn State as like it's so such a basic color and uniform, historic, and it's that Nike, that's that swoosh. And I've grown up always loving Nike. I worked at one Adidas school, and I hated Adidas at that time. I liked their shoes, but I just thought they were kind of the material and everything compared to Nike at that time wasn't even comparable. But yeah, my kids, like, everything's Nike, right? So now it's going to be weird, this transition, like, to the three-stripe. But everything that I've seen, the material, the quality, it's going to be top-notch, right? It's going to be awesome. It's going to take a minute to get used to. But you saw the jersey mock-ups and everything, nothing different, you know? So it's going to be just the earth, I don't think rumbled at all on July 1st, but I think it looks good. Like I said, seeing all the athletes, all the different athletes for the different sports in it was pretty cool. So I'm excited for the new era. It's going to be different, but for the old heads, I guess it'll be a tougher transition. But for the younger generation, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Well, or the really old guys who remember the time before Nike. Mike, I'm old enough to remember that when they decided to put the swoosh on the jersey. Oh, my God. The jersey is sacred. We don't do that.
Yeah. So let me tell you. So we're partnering at HVU with Penn State Jerseys. His name's Matt. He doesn't really have a company. He just does this because he loves collecting Penn State collectibles. If you follow him on Instagram, it's awesome. So I had a phone call with him a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't met him. I haven't talked to him before. And a lot of like when you just, you know, I'm kind of judging the book by a cover. I'm like, oh, he's a collectibles guy. Okay. He just wants to collect things and sell it and make some money. He's the furthest thing from that. Like he literally has a story on every single collectible he has. And he's very passionate about it. So, and I bring it up because we're going to start auctioning on our site one of his collectibles, and some of the money will go back to a charity, a foundation, whatnot. But his the one jersey he talked about on our call, we talked like I thought it was going to be 15 minutes. We ended up talking for like 2 hours, and he has Kajana Carter's jersey he wore that he continued to wear after we switched to Nike. So I didn't know that was a, that was an awesome story you told me about. And obviously there's a lot other other details behind it. But yeah, so he has that jersey.
Wow.
It was champion, right?
Probably making a jersey. I don't think it was like it is now where you're a Nike school or you're an Adidas school or you're an Under Armour school. You know, but somebody made the uniform, somebody else did, you know, the other things.
Yeah, but I guess he kept wearing it after they said, no, you got to wear, you know, Nike now. But he kept wearing that because he liked it. It was comfortable. So, so Matt has that jersey. I don't know if we're going to be auctioning that one off, but I thought that was a really cool story. And it tied together with the Nike and the new Adidas brand.
It is. It's fascinating that, you know, like the players are obligated to wear what, you know, hey, they're Adidas now. But I think I've mentioned this before. I'm old enough to remember 1979 Sugar Bowl. When you see the Generations uniform and they wear the white shoes,
yeah,
it was recognizing that Sugar Bowl where they wore Adidas turf shoes. Because they didn't back then, I think every game they had was on real grass. And then they played in the dome for the Sugar Bowl and they wore Adidas whites. So that was, you know, it was a big story then, but that also meant they were not a Nike school at the time. That would have never happened. So even now with those Generations uniforms, you saw the white shoes, they were Nike shoes. But what they were honoring was a time when they wore the Adidas shoes. And I think this is important now, Mike, for me to point this out. As we're recording this, you've got your traditional vest on, and it's not an Adidas vest you're wearing, my friend.
I know. Like, am I going to get scolded if I accidentally wear it in the building or somewhere on campus? Yeah, because this is like – I'm like – Doug Funny, I'm like a cartoon. I have two outfits. I have like one outfit. I have a whole closet of stuff, but I only wear two things really, and they're two Nike Penn State things. So it's gonna be I'll have to go to maybe I'll go to Dick's today and check out what they got. You know, they do have a nice selection in there here.
Do they? Well, we're going to be obviously seeing more and more of the Adidas stuff. But by the way, just as a side note, my friend, you are quickly on your way to becoming an old man if you wear the same couple things from the closet. I am already beyond that point. I've been that way for years, Mike. So welcome to the old man club.
Yeah, but I never want to get into old man club where I'm at the parade yesterday. And, you know, my kids are throwing candy and kids are having fun picking it up. And we're in one spot. And I'm just like, dang, Tiff. I'm like, what smells? And she's like trying to tip me off. It's a guy behind her. I'm like, is it my hat? What are you talking about? It's just this. There was like these two old men that just, they did not look like they've showered forever. And they were smelly guys. So hopefully I'll never be the smelly guy. I wash my two uniforms every day.
I hit the shower every day despite being an old man. All right, Mike, just a heads up. So let's talk more importantly, though, what the Adidas contract means. It's one thing, you know, the uniform and the shirts and fan paraphernalia that we wear, but this is a big investment of money that Adidas is making into Penn State, and it will have an effect on what we see on the field.
Yeah, because there's NIL money allocated within that contract. So that helps, right? That helps our school, the schools like Tennessee. I think it's tough for guys like myself and you that are older and grew up on Nike, right? Like, we may be in a transition right now where – they're kind of making the push, and maybe they already have, and I'm just kind of ignorant to it, that Adidas is going to be, you know, the forefront of college football maybe in the coming years. And they've made a really big push. Schools like us in Tennessee, those are massive brands, right? And to change brands, that says a lot. At those type of schools and our school, that's big time. And, you know, with the World Cup going on right now, obviously, they're
Adidas.
it's Adidas. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of how that kind of that transition happens, right? We've been through it. It happens in life, right? I went through a time where I was at West Virginia, and I think we were Russell. And I came in, and that year it turned to Nike. And then those Nike, like the quality just jumped up tremendously every single year. And by the my last year in 2007 or 2008, it was those jerseys were sick. And what they have now are awesome. But what I'm seeing though now is based off my time in 18 when I was at an Adidas school and what they have now, the quality has jumped tremendously. And look, I was at Mississippi State, so maybe it wasn't like a top tier, like Adidas level. So, but the Tennessee and us, like we're gonna have the top of the top. So it's gonna be cool, and I think it's gonna for the younger generation growing up now. Maybe Adidas is what Nike was to us.
Well, I think what it does, Mike, is the fact that Adidas. It's a major story. It's a big time story. Penn State going Nike to Adidas, that Penn State will be one of those schools that is out front. Oregon is out front for Nike and always will be. We know the connection there with Phil Knight. And there are other Nike schools, you know, Michigan and obviously North Carolina. But where you have this for Adidas, Penn State will be at the forefront of the Adidas team. And this is Adidas saying, you know what? We do want to make our mark in college football. You brought up Tennessee is making the same changeover. So, yeah, these are going to be a couple of the teams that are on the forefront and Adidas wanting to put their best foot forward with these schools.
Yeah, if they can provide quality and they can provide the money, right? And obviously, that had a lot to do with it too. So I guess the two – look good to move forward. And obviously it had to be very lucrative, you know, for schools like us in Tennessee to do that, because that was it. Obviously when it was announced, you know, you hear that, you get the wave of like, oh my gosh, the world's ending. Right. and now it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Oh man, they're making moves. Oh, those jerseys look sick. Right. It's just part of life. We go in these cycles, right? And now we're just in a new cycle where it's like we're transitioning into, you know, maybe it's Adidas is going to be the future of college football. Maybe not, but they're definitely making a play at it.
And it's a business decision. Adidas made the business decision. Penn State made the business decision. Now we've seen the new jerseys look like the old jerseys, you know, except the different logo. What I'm going to be interested to see is, do they make any changes to the Generations uniform? You know, that's one of my favorite things. I love those uniforms, you know, with the stripe, the number on the side of the helmet, the white spikes. I want to see if Adidas does anything with those.
Yeah, they will. It'll probably be just as detailed as the past ones, just based off the details that you saw on the new Adidas jerseys. I don't think we're going to see anything different. It'll be pretty cool. Did we do the white shoes last year?
Yes, for the Generations game. Yep, yeah. They have been doing that. All right, Mike, that's got to be the final word. Thank you. Thank all of you for joining us. Make sure you come back next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.